Celtics heading into game five in Miami. We try to answer, why are these teams just getting blown out and taking turns doing it? Not an easy question to answer. Plus, the one play that shows why Robert Williams is the absolute key to the series, and if he plays, the Celtics will win. It's right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked On number 18, Tatum and Brown, J-team, step back. We gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's how it started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked On Celtics, pod, home of the winners. B.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine and your first listen every day. This show is free and available every Monday through Friday. Plus, throughout the rest of the playoffs, and hopefully there's another round of the playoffs, bonus podcast whenever the Celtics play. And hey, maybe in the finals, I'll just go 7 days a week in the finals if the Celtics make it there. Because why not? The Celtics can make it there and have a chance after a tying up the series 2-2, their blowout win, which I talked about in yesterday's podcast. You can listen to that. Today, we'll get a little bit deeper into that. By the way, I'm John Corrales. I cover the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. I've written a book called Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, and I was one of the media voters for the 75th anniversary team, the Celtics team. I want to thank everybody for subscribing. We're getting close to that 6,500. The goal is 500 per playoff series on YouTube. We're getting close. We're getting closer to 6,300. So just need a couple more hundred here to get through this series. And the Celtics can do me some favors by continuing to win. Today's show is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online is where the game starts. This podcast starts with Tom_NBA, Tom Westerholm, noted hot takesman. Tom, how's it going?
I am good, Jonathan. How are you?
I am good. You gotta remember, you gotta go Greek with my first name, but that's okay.
I know it. Giannis. I'm good. Yeah. Giannis. I don't know.
it's basically the same thing. Yeah. Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's John in Greek. So
Giannis Kouralikoumpo.
Right. The original Greek freak.
I mean, yeah, that's what it is.
That's right.
That's what it is. Terrorizing people at Emerson.
Terrorizing.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into this this game four. Where do you want to start here? Because I went through a bunch of the stuff last night. What was the most important aspect of the Celtics getting out to that hot start, do you think?
Dude, I hate to be this reductive and this obvious and this everything, but you know what it is? They didn't throw the ball straight to the Miami Heat.
Right. Thank you.
I tweeted this last night. Like basketball is so funny because it's such a complex game that sometimes just has such unbelievably simple explanations for everything. Like the Celtics didn't turn the ball over and immediately, I mean, like they had three turnovers in the first quarter, zero in the second quarter, and they're up by 20 something at halftime. And I don't know what else to do with that. Like the Heat can't score on them in the half court. Their defense is filthy. I do think, like, if you want to go not turnovers, because that's kind of a boring conversation because, like, it's very simple. If you want to go not that direction, I do think that we were 100 – that, you know, you and then this conversation was 100% right that Robert Williams was a huge, huge impact because you watch the way that he defended. I mean, I think the one that really stood out to me was the way he defended Jimmy Butler a couple of times, like just blocking Jimmy Butler at the rim. Like, when Butler gets going, he's devastating – like from the mid range, but like the real thing is that he can get to the rim, muscle people out of the way, you know, like score over smaller guys and hit those mid range shots. It's the combination of the two, you know, draw the fouls, get to the free throw line, all that. Rob Williams blocked him at least once, maybe twice. Al Horford blocked him at least twice. It's just like the size the Celtics had down low to kind of contain the Heat with Rob in the game and available was just essential. You know, honestly, as much as we talked up Smart, and I stand by all of that, I think having Rob back was probably more essential than having Smart just because like of of the things that Derek White can replace that Smart does. So, like, I just thought, you know, those two things, right? Having Rob back and, you know, we'll see. He did kind of limp off the court a little bit there in the third quarter. But having him back, especially in that first half as they were running out and just not turning the ball over and forcing the Heat to be a half-court offense with their somewhat limited scoring and, you know, not for nothing, they look kind of banged up too. Like, Butler looks banged up. You know, Lowry's banged up. Tyler Hero wasn't playing. He's a half-court scorer. You know, I think those two things were huge, you know, especially just the size and the lack of turnovers.
Look, this is, if nothing else on this podcast, we'll discuss the actual things that matter. And the fact is, over the past couple days, past couple games, it's been simple, like exactly what you said. In game three, they turned the ball over 23 times and gave up 33 points. In game,
that's so many turnovers.
That's a lot of turnovers. Boston had 7 points off of turnovers.
Yeah.
So, like, in game four, that's a significant difference.
Yeah.
And we all, the collective, we in this realm, the podcasting, the video breakdowns, there, this really is honestly a golden age, I think, of, like, there are so many really, really smart people breaking the game down and more than ever. And it's all very accessible. And there are a ton of great podcasts out there. I talk about this being the first listen, but, like, you can listen to 10 other podcasts breaking down the Celtics game and do great. Like, there's a ton of content out there, but the reality is we don't need it all for these past two games. It's all masturbation for these two games. It's because all you need to know is the Celtics didn't turn the ball over in game four, and they did in game three to at a ridiculous rate, and they got blown the hell out in game three when they did, and they continue to lose these games when they turn the ball over, and when they don't, they win. It's simple. It's very simple. I stayed on brand and censored myself there, but it's... I'm not afraid of being reductive, because the conversation then becomes, well, why the hell do you turn the ball over so damn much?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not as simple as don't turn the ball over. Well, what are you doing to not turn the ball over? Why didn't you turn the ball over? And how are you able to take, you know, or what are they doing? Is Miami doing something? And frankly, I don't think Miami was doing a whole lot. Like, they played great defense and all that and slapped down and all that. But I think some of the difference was, I look at this box score from this past game last night or Monday night, and I am shocked that Jaylen Brown only has one turnover.
Yeah.
Because he got the ball slapped out of his hands, like, 10 different times, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is, when he got the ball slapped out of his hands, it went out of bounds and the Celtics retained possession. And when he got the ball slapped out of his hands in game three, it went into a Miami Heat hand and it got out into transition. So,
well, Victor Oladipo, but yeah.
Yeah. Like, right. And so this is, I come out of last night's game thinking, like, okay, great. But I still am not, like, entirely encouraged. Like, I don't think the Celtics went and laid the hammer down. They protected the ball, but there's a little bit of luck variance in there, and there's a little bit of shot variance in there. Like, I think Miami missed some makeable shots. I think the Celtics defense forced them into a place where they were uncomfortable, but there were certainly plenty of misses on Miami's part where I was like, okay, if that had gone in, this might have been a different kind of run for the Celtics. But this game four, unlike other games where the Celtics have bounced back, I don't think offensively they bounced back. I think they bounced back defensively. I think offensively they still had a lot of their same problems. They just had Derek White come out hot, and they had Jason Tatum be hot in the second quarter, and Miami in the first half, the Celtics defense just shut Miami down, and then they got so uncomfortable that they couldn't do anything. And I think that's a function of Rob and Al, but it is turnovers. It's all turnovers.
Yeah, but no, but I think you're right that it's a huge part of it too is the function of having Rob and Al down there, because you do like, you know, you do get hot and cold in the NBA, and some of that is determined by defense, and some of that can be determined over the course of like three or four plays. So, you know, the Heat get downhill a couple of times and meet Rob Williams at the rim and get rejected, or they, you know, on the first play, and then maybe on the second play, they're thinking about it and they miss. And then on the third play, maybe they pull up from mid range, but they just missed two layups, and now they're, you know, a little out of rhythm. And it's like, these things can snowball. Like, that's pretty much literally what happened to Jimmy Butler. Like, he had a couple of, you know, shots at the rim that missed, and then he missed a mid-range shot. And finally, he did hit a mid-range shot over Rob. But, you know, by that point, the Celtics, I think when he hit that shot, the Celtics, that was the Heat, like, fifth and sixth points of the game. Yeah. And the Celtics had, like, 24 or something like that at that point. Like, you know, so I do think it is very symbiotic in that way, right? Where, like, if, like, and we've seen that a weird amount in these playoffs is, like, how, you know, you were asking about guys kind of like snowballing and things snowballing. It feels like that has been happening a fair amount on a lot of different sides, where, you know, a problem manifests and then it just kind of builds and builds and builds. And by the time it's, you know, by the time this team starts to correct it, it's almost kind of gotten out of control. So kind of weird how that just kind of keeps happening to both teams in this series. I don't know why that dynamic seems to exist, you know, aside from, you know, maybe just two really good defensive teams, you know, kind of going at each other. Cause that is, I do feel like that is one thing we have learned about both of these teams in the series. They're both excellent, excellent, excellent defensive teams. Every once in a while, they just obliterate the opponent, and it's, it can make for some ugly quarters.
It can. Let's explore that a little bit as to why things keep cascading for each team. First, let's talk about the cascading chocolate over a Built Bar, the brownie batter puffs. Everybody loves brownies. And, you know, if what you love more than the brownie is the brownie batter. And if you feel like that feeling of dipping your hand into brownie batter and just taking, oh man, just the old, getting back to your childhood, just reaching up into that. And you can get that back with a Built Puff, the brownie batter puff. And the thing about the Built Puff is that it's only 140 calories, 17 grams of protein, 7 grams of sugar, and it's a great pick-me-up for any day. Like I said, I've had a 13-year-old in the car with me when I got some of these Built Puffs, and he dug in. Like, I just left the box with him. Like, you just take it. He loves these things. So if it's teenager-approved, you know that it's going to taste good. They're covered in 100% real chocolate. So you can eat healthy. Like I said, 140 calories is a great snack with that protein, that 17 grams of protein that you're looking for if you're working out, or if you're just looking for maybe like a quick meal replacement or something like that. You can do it without like going crazy with the calories. And they're made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently. So there are health benefits there as well. So go to built.com, check it out. Use the promo code LOCKED15 every single time. You want to go today and check it out. You want to go tomorrow and say, oh, I saw something and I want to go back and buy it. Use LOCKED15 every single time. It's going to work for 15% off your order. LOCKED15, 15% off at built.com. Thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen. Why not make Locked On NBA your second listen? Locked On NBA, weekly, daily rotating hosts. And on Wednesdays, it's me, it's Jake Madison from Locked On Pelicans. I'll be back with the Celtics off on Tuesday night. I'll be back there breaking down game 4 of the Warriors and the Mavericks. So subscribe to Locked On NBA, wherever you get your podcast. You can watch the show on YouTube. And hopefully the Mavericks can make this a series, Tom, because I say it to you like with disdain as if it's your fault. Tom.
What did I do?
Tom. Maybe they can make this a series, Tom, because – you know, the Celtics, they can only win this in 6, and the last thing they need is a rested Warriors team up next. I don't know. I said that in a very accusatory way for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, it would be pretty wild if like the beat up Celtics got like, you know, a couple days off for the finals, and the Warriors are just like, you know, they're getting back from Cancun the first time.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, we just took a week off and went on vacation and came back and we're good.
Meanwhile, Cade Cunningham and Dwayne Casey just showing up to the Celtics game. That was kind of cool.
Love it. Love it.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. I love that Pistons team, man. They're going to be so tough.
They're going to be fun. Yeah. And, you know, whoever they add in the draft, like if they hit on that.
I'm praying. I know we're not talking Pistons basketball today, but I'm praying Jaden Ivey falls to them because that would be he would be such a perfect fit for them.
I mean, I would love for that Pistons team to be good because just I mean, think about the Celtics having to go through Detroit and Philly or Miami, like just like the old rivalries are just lining up. That's fun. That's fun. You know, I kind of likened it to like a WWE style, like setting up the storyline, like, the Pistons are courtside, you know, like Cunningham should have come out after the game and grabbed the mic and be like, oh, you think you're so hot. Well, I'll show you hot right now. And then just go into a whole big thing, you know, that would have been great. Like all of a sudden just hit a, just get Marcus Smart, like hit him over there with a chair. I don't know.
It's very funny to me that you like WWE stuff, but you do not like Joel Embiid because he is the most WWE player in the NBA.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a different thing. That's for a different lockdown podcast.
So. Fair enough.
Save that for another time.
Lockdown WWE.
Yeah. Lockdown. Yes. Yeah. Sorry. So we were talking before about the cascading kind of like. Each team is unable to turn off the water, right? You get flooded with the other team's run and you can't stop it. And I'm not sure what it is. I mean, there are theories that we can throw out there. Mine would be that they're so kind of evenly matched that when one team goes down, the other team goes up and it just creates this gap between them. Where it's hard to kind of get back to this level. Like when you're down and this team is feeling it, like they just move at a different level. And when you're down and you're kind of like struggling and you're there's just no, I don't know, like psychologically, you just can't get yourself out of it. When they're playing even, like one of these games is going to be an actual evenly matched, both teams are playing well at the same time, and it might be an epic game, it might go like double overtime or something. Which is the last thing any of these teams want.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. Like, what do you think? What do you think would be the reasoning behind some of this continuously, like these huge monster, like 18 outscoring a team by 18 or 20 in a quarter?
It does kind of feel like it might be like psychological, right? And that's a hard thing because like that's a hard thing to analyze for us because we aren't playing, we aren't in these guys' heads. Like, I don't know, but.
You didn't see me out there for 8 minutes in the second quarter?
No, that was the fourth quarter. That was Duncan Robinson, but I understand the I understand the confusion. So
often confused for.
I don't know how else you can kind of describe it, right? It's like the Celtics, when they kind of melt down, they make mistakes that are just inexplicable, and those feel like mental mistakes, not like schematic. Often not things that the Heat are really forcing. Like, you know, I keep going back to some of those turnovers against, you know, when Jimmy Butler was just picking them off in game one. Like, those are mistakes that you just can't, like, totally explain from schematics. There's schematic elements involved, certainly. And I know, you know, Nekias Duncan did a nice breakdown of the ways that, like, Jason Tatum wasn't getting involved in the action fast enough. He was getting involved in the action a lot faster in game four, if you noticed that. But, like, you know, get ways that he wasn't, you know, necessarily attacking right, that the Heat were taking some things away. There are schematic things, but I do think when things start to snowball like that, it's tough not to be like, hey, I feel like the Heat scored 1 point in the first 9 minutes of game four and kind of said, screw it, it's 2-2. Like, we have home court advantage. Like, you know, we already took back home court advantage. Let's go home and see what happens. And nobody would ever cop to that, obviously.
Right.
Because you can't admit that type of thing in the NBA. But at the same time, like, I don't know. Like, they didn't look like they had it. And they looked like pretty early on like they knew they didn't have it. So, you know, I think game five will tell us a lot. Like, if the Celtics come out and win game five by a ton, then I think we will know that actually it was only the turnovers. And the Celtics just need to not turn the ball over and they're going to win no matter what, right? If the Heat come out and win, then maybe it was just a matter of the Heat got the split. They got down by a ton early and they said, look, like, we're not in, like, you know, none of the guys here are super healthy. So how much does it really benefit us to try to fight back from a 22-point deficit over the course of a game, just really drain ourselves, just really try hard when in reality, maybe it would be better to go back to Miami a little bit more rested. Maybe the guys get the fourth quarter off.
Yeah.
And they have a chance to try to win game five at home and take a 3-2 series lead. And then all, you know, it's, and then the conversation shifts, you know, drastically back the other way to, oh my gosh, the Celtics are back on the brink. So I don't know. I mean, I do think that a lot of this could just be mental on both sides. You know, maybe the Celtics get a little shaken when the Heat start turning them over. Maybe the Heat kind of say, yeesh, I don't think we have it tonight, when they start getting blown out. And that's just kind of the way of the road.
All right, let's get to something important here, because that is very, very Tom Westerholm. Hold on, let me see if I can get this. Here we go.
He is a looker, I'll say it.
So on the YouTube only, we've got the Duncan Robinson headshot. The hair, Tom, it's exactly the same. If he just lets that really scruff is. Grow out, that's like your twin brother, man. That's like, you're really like, oh, hold on. I want to just for the sake, I'm going to take myself out of here.
Yeah, let me center myself here. Nope, not centered. There we go.
Oh yeah, that's like, you're just dead ringer, man.
You're welcome. Probably,
you remember the guy in was it New Orleans who put on the warm-up gear?
Yeah,
sitting in the front row, and then he just kind of like finagled his way out. He's like, all right,
dude, this is my ticket into the NBA, because I'll knock down some threes. Like, yeah. I'll confuse me. You, don't let me get hot. Like, confuse me for Duncan Robinson for one warm-up, and
that's true. No, I can attest to that. You like, you got to go out there. Can we get you down to Miami? Like, that's that game. So maybe we can fly you down there, get you the full Heat gear, get you courtside, and just let you kind of like finagle your way in. Like, come on, just you know.
They I might. Will say, I'm 6'3", and he's a lot taller than me. Like,
he is. But like, maybe somebody will just like, you know, you catch a glimpse. You're like, oh yeah, Duncan wants a shot.
Duncan, yeah.
You know,
I'm definitely gonna have to get rid of some of them. Trim down my facial hair a bit.
You have to get that down. But like, I'm amazed. That is amazing. Enough of that. Let's get back to this. Okay. So, yeah, man, I think when it comes down to things going, like, it's very hard to, I think there might also be like some fatigue here. Like, both teams are just beat to hell, both of them. And at this point, the every other game for the Celtics to have, I think every other game now, after the week off and the extra time off, like, thank God that they had all that time off before, because I think we're seeing some of the, like, if the Celtics had this kind of schedule, like if they didn't sweep Brooklyn, if that was a tougher series, they probably don't get by the Milwaukee Bucks, because I think some of this stuff might also be fatigue. And once you get hit, you're like, oh, I gotta fight now. Like, oh man. And I think there's just you can't tell me that some of the turnovers that Jalen and Jason have had over the past few games are something that a fully healthy, fully alert, aware person is gonna do. Like, Jason Tatum in game three literally was looking straight at Jimmy Butler. There's no way he could not have seen Jimmy Butler. And he threw a pass 2 feet away from Jimmy Butler that he easily get. Like, he didn't jump the passing lane. He leaned slightly into the passing lane and got out into transition. So I think it's whoever, it's almost like a race where there's a starter pistol, and like, whoever times the starter pistol
right
gets, like, once you get that couple of steps, forget it. There's just no, you know, like a drag race or something like that. You know, those drag races, the little funny cars.
Yeah.
Whoever hits that pedal first always wins. Like, there's, you just, that's all it is. Just hit the gas first and go. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I think that's right. I mean, like, and look, I think that does speak, like you said, I think that speaks to the fatigue, right? Is like, if you can jump out to that early lead, if you get demoralized and you're tired, it's just so much harder to dig yourself out of it. And then, you know, you see, like, credit, honestly, it is a little bit credit to the Celtics that they made. And I mean, obviously there were a lot of factors that made the game a lot easier in game three, but you know, with everybody going out with injuries, but you know, they did make a push back for better or worse in game three. But yeah, no, like, that fatigue, that, that makes it really hard to rally when you go down by a lot. You're just exhausted. And I do wonder if that's some of what happened to the Heat in game four. And I will say, if I'm the Heat, I'm a little bit worried about Jimmy Butler, because he did not look like himself. He did not look like super healthy. Some of his drives, like, it almost looked like, you know, his footwork almost looked awkward, just like he was trying to step weird. Feels like something that happens when your knee hurts. Yep. I don't know. I'm very much not a doctor, and I'm trying to make myself sound like one right now, so I'll stop. But I'm curious to see how healthy Jimmy Butler is going forward.
Yeah, and I think what I want to finish the show off on is the Robert Williams effect on Jimmy, especially. We'll do that after I talk to people about Bet Online, which has the Celtics as road favorites, which is a new thing. Road favorites, Celtics, 1.5 road favorites, which is, you know, pretty big. This has been kind of like a home favorite type of series. So Celtics -1.5, that's a big deal for Bet Online to have that. So head on over to Bet Online, your number one source for all for your betting needs, the latest odds, like I just showed you. And they have the Mavericks as favorites in this game. So maybe the Mavericks can actually extend the series a little bit. Just enough to keep Golden State occupied. Just enough. But they also have baseball, the fights, whatever fights you want to watch, whatever fights you want to get odds on. NFL coming back soon. NFL futures are up there. So check it out. Esports, live in-game betting, it's all there. Head on over to the website. Use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet Online is where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly. All right, Tom. So the Robert Williams being back, we mentioned it earlier, but I want to finish on this. And Al Horford, him and Al together,
yes,
is a just a major, major deal. And if Rob can just get through this series, then, you know, obviously you want to get him through the NBA finals as well, but just get him through this series. They can win this. Just two more games. I think whatever game they have won, whichever games he's played. Wait, no, didn't he
play game one?
Game one. So they, yeah. So, but, the games that they've won, he's been in.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So, and Jimmy in particular is I think impacted by Rob, because simple fact that Jimmy Butler wants to get to the rim, wants to get to the free throw line. And when he gets to the rim, he's not getting to the rim to score necessarily. He's going to score and get fouled. He's trying all of his tricks. And Rob doesn't have to jump at everything that Butler throws at him or anybody throws at him. Now, sometimes he does anyway, and that's a bad habit. But whenever,
in fairness, if you were Rob, if you could jump as high as Rob Williams, wouldn't you jump every chance you got?
I would jump from here over the TV to get to my kitchen.
Absolutely.
I would be jumping everywhere. But for these purposes, he needs to stop jumping. If Butler is throwing fakes, like you just say, you don't jump until he jumps. And that's enough to block shots or make them difficult. He'll score some because he's Jimmy Butler. But Rob's unique ability to just be like, yeah, you can jump. I'll wait till you get to the top of your jump, and then I'll still block your shot. Like, that type of stuff, I think, bothers Miami. And when you look at their half court cleaning the glass, the points per play, how many points did the team score per 100 half court plays? Miami, 65.7. Not good. Not good. They're already a bad half court team. And I think when you combine the ball protection for the Celtics, because you always got to protect your balls, with the Robert Williams rim protection, that's a wrap for Miami. You can, if you don't turn the ball over and you've got Rob back there on defense, then forget about what Rob even gives you on offense. If you got Rob back there in defense and Al Horford back there in defense, then Miami has no chance. If Rob's not playing, Miami has a chance. But if Rob is playing, there's forget it. Under those circumstances, I would say the series is over.
There was one play in the first quarter. I'm pretty sure it was Butler, where he drove past the Celtics guard who was guarding him. And then he drove past, I believe, Rob, and then Al blocked him.
Yes.
You had to drive by three really good defenders. And it was just like, that's brutal, right? And it's, you know, and it's not just the rim protection, although I think that's a huge part, obviously. You know, I think that opponents really struggle with, you know, like have struggled all year with Rob's rim protection because, like you said, he's an unnatural shot blocker. It's not just the, okay, I have to like time my jump. Rob jumps so high that it's unnatural to like try to finish over him. And I think that throws people off. Like, but it's not just that too. It's also like the rebounding, like the Heat are small. They, you know, Bam likes to, you know, like offensive rebounding, Bam likes to roam. The Celtics have, you know, multiple bigs in there often. They can grab offensive rebounds. You know, defensively, it's going to be hard to get second chances. If like the Heat play hard, they play really physical. And sometimes they get, you know, sometimes they just scrap those offensive rebounds, but most of the time, you know, they're getting like, you know, kind of one and done opportunities. Like Robin, you know, Robin Al are tough at that. Like I was looking, yeah, like 60-39 yesterday in the, in rebounds. Like it's significant. And, you know, that size advantage, there's the Celtics have so many things working for them in this series. Like I think most people would probably agree they have the best player. Jaylen's right up there, you know, too. You know, they have all of this size advantage. They have, you know, they have a better half court offense. They have the league's best defense. Like they should be able to win these games. And I think a lot of that does come down to the fact that they, you know, that size advantage is just yet another thing that like that Horford Rob Williams advantage is just yet another thing that the Heat have to overcome, which I think is going to make it tough in the next couple games. They can do it. They beat the Celtics, you know, it's 2-2. It's not like, you know, this isn't like a 3-1, 3-0 series, but it's just a lot of factors to have to overcome four times in a series, I feel like.
Let's take a look at this one. Since we're here, we'll do another YouTube, and it's not necessarily a breakdown, but this is, when we talk about Rob and his ability to defend, in this particular play with 10:53 to go in the third quarter, it's already 61-33. You already now Rob goes out. He has to pick up Butler at the perimeter. And not only does he pick him up and he rides him into the middle. So Rob is right there.
Yep.
Slides in the middle of there's help, but look at Al. Al doesn't even think to help.
No. Nope.
Doesn't need to help.
Tatum doesn't swipe. Yeah.
Nope. This is the difference between Rob and Daniel Theis. This play right here. Because for people not watching, the setup now is Butler has driven left. He's sort of gotten by Robert Williams. He hasn't turned the corner, but you know, he's almost doesn't have Rob on his hip quite yet, but he's trying. Tatum is right there, has a chance to swipe, but he doesn't. Jaylen Brown, kind of at the top of the key, doesn't have to dig down and get a kick out to Kyle Lowry at the top. And the most important thing, Al Horford in the restricted area, 1 foot in the restricted area, has Bam Adebayo waiting. Like you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, Bam is like, oh yeah, here's a big juicy lob coming. But Al, as Jimmy Butler drives, takes a step further out to Adebayo. Butler gets into the restricted area. Rob, now look at this. Here's Jimmy Butler off his feet. Robert Williams is retreating. His momentum is going back. And if you're going to watch the play, box a shot. Like, that's not fair.
That's crazy.
That's not fair. Everything is going against Rob. Drive by left. Momentum is going back. Butler gets a little bit of that shoulder nudge to push Robert out of the way, rises up, and he just has that like look how quick he gets up. Boom.
Well, and look at the angle that he's jumping from. It doesn't even make sense to jump like that.
No. And he gets up and he still gets that. Now maybe that's Jimmy Butler not getting up as high. Maybe if he's got a fully healthy right knee, because he's going left, right, and he's planting with his right foot to jump, and that right knee doesn't give him the power. But still, he's off his feet, Tom. He's literally off his feet. Yep. And Rob is at like a 70-degree angle on both of his. He's still on the ground, and he blocks the shot. That's the difference between not having Rob and having Rob. No need to help. No need to come off the shooters. No need to come off the guy at the in the dunker spot. Nothing. Because that if Tice is in there or Grant is in there, that's either a bucket for Jimmy, that's a dump off to Adebayo for a dunk, or a kick out for three. And the Celtics gave up none of those things. That's and Rob picked him up from the 3-point line at the break to make that play. That's Robert Williams in a nutshell, and that's why I think the Celtics, if he plays, the Celtics will win both the next two games.
And that is the key question based also on that play where he came away hobbling. That was the play that he hobbled after.
Yeah, he did a little bit. He did a little bit.
And that was shortly after the Celtics. He hobbled up and down the floor a few more times. Celtics pulled him off the floor. He said after the game that he feels fine. He feels good. And I was like, okay, Rob.
Yeah.
Hope you're right, man.
If it's the bone bruise, if you've ever had a bone bruise, those freaking hurt. Those freaking hurt. Sure. And hopefully there's like no swelling. Keep that thing down. Keep it iced, whatever.
And he said there was a little swelling, right? Like that was one of the things he said.
Yeah, I think that's just one of the things, like that there's going to be some.
Yep.
It's just a matter, can you get it? Can you get past it? I don't know.
Yep.
But yeah, if he doesn't play, like that play doesn't happen at all in that in that way.
Right.
That play doesn't happen at all that way. And that's part of the problem. In Miami, if they can be halfway decent in the half court, they're not a good half court team, but if they can be halfway decent in the half court, then they'll have a really good chance to win the game. Because when they're halfway decent in the half court, now you get to go back and set your defense, and then the Celtics are coming up against the set Miami defense, and you got to try to navigate. You know, they're good at navigating the screens. They're good at some of this other stuff. Like they will have the higher likelihood of poking the ball away, as opposed to Jaylen Brown going down in transition and getting the ball poked away at the restricted area where it gets slapped out of bounds, or coming off a pick and it's picked, you know, knocked away at the break of the 3-point line, and now Miami gets to go out and run. Rob's the key. Rob's the guy.
He is. Rob's a really good player. Rob, like, this, you know, Celtics spent all this time looking for looking for a third star. And you can call Rob whatever you want. Maybe you don't call him a star, whatever you want to call him. But I think he's the third guy. He's great. He's something else.
Yep. All right, we'll see. I am not going to Miami for this game, so I will be covering it from home.
Hey, March, go to Miami.
Yeah. Sorry. You are going to Miami to get kicked out of warmups. We will send you. It's a Locked On exclusive. Just watching Tom Westerholm sneak onto the floor and see how many people. I mean, look, here's how it would go. You'd hit a couple of threes and security would come over, and then Spo would be like, no, hold on. We can use this guy.
Let's hear him out.
We had a 10-day. We got a slot here. Can we still do this? He was a free agent before the deadline.
If you thought Duncan Robinson would have trouble guarding Jason Tatum.
Oh, come on, Tom.
I would be vaporized. I watched how these guys played against the Bucks. My bones would be dust.
It's so funny. Somebody put out a video of Tatum kind of like just doing like ball handling. It might have been on Instagram. And they're like, geez, look at the handles. And he's like, crossing over, like, and he's by himself. He's in a gym. He's just showing off.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, bah, 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 and he goes, and you're like, that is so insane. Like he's dribbling like he's the best ball handler in the world.
Yeah.
And we know when we see him in the games, he's not.
Yeah.
He's better, but he's not. It just to see these guys, just an open gym, how good they are without other elite NBA players just doing what they do to them defensively. Like if Jason Tatum played 5 minutes in a pickup game, just a random YMCA pickup game, he might score 50 points in 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's very humbling, honestly, as my son makes an appearance here. It's very humbling to watch how talented these guys are. As somebody who, you know, I think of, you know, especially previously, thought of myself as a pretty good pickup basketball player. But just the difference is crazy, man. It's really wild.
All right. Well, Rafi's appearance means it's time to go, Tom Westerholm. But very glad that he hopped in, that now we can do that. I can have the Rafi thumbnail. And he's painting. He's got markers and stuff. This is fantastic. Oh, and it looks like a family of tigers.
Pretty good.
What did he say?
You drew it?
Yeah.
This is the YouTube stuff. This is why people subscribe to the YouTube page. All right, Tom. Appreciate you. And appreciate all of you listeners and watchers. Fun podcast here. Heading into game 5 in Miami. I will be here at the home base covering this game. So I'll be here post game for you, and hopefully with a little bit sooner of a podcast, not running around in Miami and like going crazy. But so subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. I hope that the video breakdown that we did there was understandable for people who weren't watching, but you can watch the show on YouTube. Check it out, even if you're just showing up to see that part of the segment and see what I was talking about. So subscribe wherever you get your podcast, subscribe to the YouTube page. And if you are a subscriber, would love it if you shared the podcast, tell your friends, tell everybody they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.